This is Haku, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbags with Phil, Jay, and the big pain in the ass, Choppy.
Yes.
All right, make sure you listen.
Thank you.
Yes, Haku say so.
Arco Arena, Sacramento, Friday night, December the 5th. 9 great matches on the card. You'll see CV Afi, the Killer Bees, the Moondogs, the Honky Tonk Man, the Poet Laureate, Leaping Lanny Poffo, against Bobby the Brain Heenan's Hercules, Tito Santana against the Natural Butch Reed, the British Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation single matches, Davey Boy Smith against Jim the Anvil Neihardt and the Dynamite Kid against Bret the Hitman Hart, Rowdy Roddy Piper against Cowboy Bob Orton in the Intercontinental title on the line, the Macho Man Randy Savage accompanied by Elizabeth facing the challenge of the Master of the Full Nelson, Billy Jack Haynes and Randy Savage. I don't mind saying the conduct you have shown as of late totally unbecoming not only a champion, but a professional wrestler of any kind.
I'm racing your face right now. Your face doesn't exist.
Ten words that you say, Mr. TV announcer, have no rhythm and have no rhyme. Does Billy Jack realize what kind of danger he is in? He ought to, man. He's wrestled me 2 times before. And the Macho Man, Randy Savage, has had his hand raised on 2 consecutive occasions. Yeah, I am the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. Make no mistake about that. In Sacramento, California, realizes that Macho Madness is really a hip-type thing. Cannot be denied. High altitude and coming down on danger zone, Billy Jack. Yeah. You've had your warning. You've had 2 warnings. And now this time you're hurting bad. Sacramento!
Sacramento, Friday night, December the 5th, Arco Arena. Rowdy Roddy Piper against the Bodyguard. Cowboy Bob Orton, the British Bulldogs. Against the Hart Foundation in single matches. And the Intercontinental title on the line. The Macho Man against Billy Jack Haynes. Don't miss it.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island, New York City.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass, Choppy. On Rant EM Radio, proud member of the Shining Wizards Network and Dark Satellite Media.
Freak out. Welcome to another episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
your
fucking host, Impact Player, Mr. Philly Rhea. Uh-huh. I'm in the Macho Man mood today.
Yeah.
All right. Turnbuckle Throwbacks live on a rant. Rant EM Radio, rantentertainmentmedia.com. Part of the Shining Wizards Network. Part of Dark Satellite Media. I'm Phil.
The Macho Moo Choppy Savage in the house.
And
I'm Jay, caffeine-induced Jay today.
Big Papa Pump is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
Mr. Cop, I hope you know that, you know, before every Macho Man promo, you have to do a line of Coke and some caffeine. So I hope you
know. He's gonna do a bump of Coke up his girlfriend's coolie. Uh-huh. That's how we're doing it. Yeah.
Look at this prima donna.
That's right. How's everybody doing? Welcome to everybody listening live on Rant EM Radio and on the Facha de Libre. What is this, like episode 360-something, I think this is? 366?
Yeah.
Something
yes,
like that? Oh, my god.
367?
Yes. Eight? I don't know. I've lost count. I fucking...
No es la super estrella.
Yeah, yo, speaking of losing count, the Rant celebrated 13 years on whatchamacallits there on Tuesday. 13 years.
God bless.
5-hour episode, by the way.
Yes, 5 yeah. hours.
Yeah, it was.
I know how AA did it.
I caught some of it. That's a marathon podcast right there.
I called in and got lost in the shuffle. I got disconnected. I'm like, I ain't calling back. I'm going to bed. Daddy's tired, man. Daddy's tired.
Congratulations to all those guys over there.
Yeah,
that's huge. Listen, man, you know, Double A, and we've thanked him a gazillion times for letting us pollute his airwaves, but, you know, he's been doing this for a long time. He had this show, he had his show on another network and then brought it over to his own network. So he's got 13 years of two different flavors, but he's got a cast of characters with him, man. You know, shout out Tony C and the Surfer, our boy Lee Champion. You know, and we've had some cool shows on the rant the last several years. We've had the Will and Phil Awful podcast. That was pretty fun. We've had I think we had Tattoos and Touchdowns. We have the Shiny Wizards. We have the Midnight Jury, Midnight Jury is now both on the rant and back on the Shining Wizards network.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying. We had Freaks and Effing Geeks. We had Old Head versus Young Buck. We've had the Wrestling Call-In Show. We had the Sports Report. Rant EM has produced some insane programming. Myself, I've filled in for both the Rant and the Wrestling Call-In Show. I've co-hosted the Black Achiever Awards. myself, Choppy, Kid Human, we've all done the pre-shows to the pay-per-views every couple of months. We'd swap off and do those and host those. So it's been a labor of love, and I'm glad to be a part of it, man. It's some good shit.
And huge news, they're available on iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio, Spotify.
Huge news.
We're on Spotify, I believe. And now we're on the iHeart gimmicks.
Yeah, so shout out to AA making that happen. Always working. Hustling.
Every day I'm hustling. All right, so Jay's got to go to work tonight, so we're going to do this as quickly as we could. And if we do go over, Jay's going to leave.
Yeah, I'll just bow out.
He'll just fucking bow out like a punk. And then
No, what do they call that? The Irish. I'm going to do the Irish goodbye.
The Irish goodbye. I love the Irish goodbye, man. I'm not even Irish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You go to the party, you take a few pictures, and you leave. That's it. I was there.
And everybody's like, where's Jay? And Jay's like, man, I was Jay's home 7 hours later. I took pictures, man. I was there. I was there. He's like, I saw your sister. I saw your mom. You know, I like how you just justify it by seeing people's family members. I saw your brother there. He was wearing that pink shirt. You know, fag.
After he's done with work, he's going to do the walk of shame going home.
Yeah. It was funny the other morning I was working and so it's like 7:30. I had no beer in the house and everybody's buying coffee and bacon, egg, and cheese, and I'm walking out with two tall boys and a bagel. I was like, I gotta go to sleep.
It's got 12 o'clock somewhere else, huh?
Newest morning breakfast.
Es la almuerzo.
Yes, it was. Someone wished me happy opening day. It was Mario. Who's in the chat room, by the way, besides Shaylin and Mario?
Let me see. Hold on. We have Choppy in the chat room.
Fuck
we you. Have Shaylin. We have Mario.
Mario, yes.
And we have Richie.
Anybody see Richie? Where is Richie? I was talking to Richie all the day.
Anime Mike just made it in, too.
Anime Mike?
Anybody see Richie?
All right, so yeah, it was opening day today for the Mets. They won in dramatic fashion. And Yankees won yesterday.
How many hours did they play? 6 hours?
No, two and a half.
Okay, I'm shocked. Oh. Okay, wow.
Yeah, two and a half.
That's a short baseball game. So is it modified?
Yeah, it's modified. They're only allowing like a certain amount of pitchers per really, and it's a little intense. It's weird seeing cardboard cutouts of people though in the fucking in the stand. That's pretty whack.
Maybe WWE should do that.
You know, it's actually probably not a bad idea.
They're filtering in like the noise and stuff like that, which is pretty cool.
I heard that.
And I had to shut the Facebook off a little yesterday and the Twitter off today for a little while because everybody's in uproar about some of these players taking knees before the games and stuff like that. I can tell you that I watched today's game and no one they did the Black Lives Matter the rope thing around the field, but no one took a knee. They played the video. They're all wearing the patches on their arms and they recognize it and they all stood up for the national anthem. If I got mad politically about everything, I'd have nothing to watch on TV.
That's exactly the
WWE
point.
The McMahon support the Trumps, and I don't like Trump. You know, apparently, you know, people hate Black Lives Matter. I was like, listen, I don't care, man. I just care about the game. I care about the sport. I have my game back, you know. I'm going to get hockey back next week and basketball. And
That's exactly the point, is that and it's funny because I've seen that, you know, a few people saying that yesterday about the Yankee game or whatever. And it's just like, you know, gosh, just please. It's enough now. It doesn't matter which side of the aisle you fall on. It's enough. We have sports back. Yeah. Let's just be fucking happy we have sports back.
Yeah, no one can be happy about anything, man. Just shut the fuck up. Yeah, you know?
Exactly.
So, not to change subjects, but Shaylin just said that Kofi Kingston is going to be out for 6 weeks or more, according to tonight's SmackDown episode, because apparently he got injured. So now she's saying that Big E might get a big push now.
Duh, we've been saying...
Ooh, heel push?
We've been saying that for how many years now, Chop?
Me and you have been saying that Big E is like the next guy. Always, because he's so good.
Yeah, you know,
it's got to be a heel push.
Also Scotty is in the room right now.
What, Kid Newman? Kid Newman?
Yes, he is.
My man.
I love you.
So, speaking of sports, I saw the first episode of The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary.
Oh, that's good. That's good stuff. Oh. Isn't it great, Chop? You're gonna love it, dude.
That's on the ESPN gimmick?
No, it's on Netflix now.
It's on Netflix now, yeah.
Get out. Oh, yeah, I can't wait. Yeah,
It's so good.
Michael Jordan is, I know people say that he's my favorite basketball player of all fucking time. I don't give a shit what anyone says. He's the best.
I just can't let the world dictate sports for me. You guys know, like, this is my life. Like, I my world revolves around box scores and nuggets of history facts and shit like that. Like I've been miserable since March with nothing but empty fucking wrestling arenas. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not fun anymore, man. I mean, we need some. The country needs a boost. We're in some really rare raw times right now. And I put this on the rant yesterday or the day before. I put on a fucking tirade because. This life is too short, and you have to try to enjoy it. I know there's so much going on, and there's so much unrest, and there's so much oppression, and there's so much bad shit going on. And I'm not sticking up for anybody. I'm not taking a side. I'm not taking a fucking, you know. It's just there's a lot of, and you want to just forget about life for a couple hours a day, if you can, you know what I'm saying. So today I stopped my life for 3 hours, and I watched a baseball game, I watched one last night. I watched the Dodgers last night. I watched 3-4 games already. Like I'm excited. I have the package on my TV.
Go ahead, John.
No. I was just going to say, based on what you just said, Phil, I had a friend of mine, more an acquaintance from the film business. He posted up that Trump is going to be throwing the first pitch for the Yankees coming up.
For their opening day?
Yeah, and he says, I'm just not going to watch the Yankees anymore. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, man. I saw people giving up. I saw people giving up on Twitter. Well,
stupid.
Hopefully he throws it better than Dr. Fauci because Melanie and Shaylin both commented on it.
You know, I texted Melanie last night. I'm like, you know, the dude's 106 years old, you know, and he did be, you know, listen, at least 50's throw was better than his. You know,
yeah,
but
well, I mean, you got Baba Booey from the Stern Show who had probably the worst throw.
Dr. Fauci's 106 years old. He played basketball when he still had wicker baskets as the fucking Nets.
He played with James Nesmith.
Yeah, he played with Nesmith. he was Nesmith's point guard actually. You can't get mad at that dude, man.
There's 7 people that are going to laugh at that joke, by the way.
Right, yeah.
And I'm one of them.
And if you've been to the Hall of Fame in Springfield, Mass, that basket hangs up proudly in the museum.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to go back there. They just reopened it. I want to go back and see some stuff. I haven't seen Patrick Ewing stuff and Jordan stuff since the last time I was there.
But like I said, Phil, you hit the nail on the head. It's the idea of just, hey, listen, let's put the world, we're in such a crazy, you know, we're in a crazy wave right now with everything going on. Like, just put life to the side for 2 hours, 3 hours, and just watch the game. Watch, you know, that's it. You know, that's, you know, I understand where everybody's trying to use it as a pedestal to further their cause or whatever. But stop. Everybody just stop, relax. Everything isn't political, or everything isn't part of your agenda.
Well, you'd be surprised. A lot of people are making everything political nowadays.
Everything, man.
You can't even enjoy wrestling nowadays. You can't even enjoy sports nowadays. You can't even enjoy a fucking movie nowadays because everyone has something. It's fucking annoying.
Everybody has something to say. It's like just, I get it, man. You're upset, but like, we have 8 million people in New York City alone that accounted for. It's been rough, man. We took a beating these last couple of months, and it's just like, it's so fucking redundant.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing every day. My activities, my outdoor activities were consisting of shopping and sitting in someone's backyard since March. Like, that's all I've done. You know, it's all I've done. I haven't done anything else. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you get excited to go fucking shopping, like, more than you usually do, like, oh my God, we're going to Walmart today. Oh my God. You know, it's like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Brielle and I used to get excited all the time because Brielle and I made a project out of it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But Brielle's not my ride or die right no more because she's busy. So it's like, I don't even have that, you know? So it's like, all right, it's like, oh my God, we're going, like, I went to a drive through today. And I was like, oh my God, this is great.
But by the way, I don't know if you've heard, but the first wrestling live event has been announced.
Where is that?
For WrestlePro has announced the
new. Oh, I heard that. Yeah, it's an outdoor event.
It's an outdoor event. They're only allowing 150 people. Social distancing will be forced. Masks will be forced, but it is the first live wrestling event. If you want to,
and I think Janela against. Kurt Hawkins or Brian Myers.
John Myers, yep. Kurt Hawkins and Brian Myers are going to be going out. So TNA superstar versus an AEW superstar. So it's going to be cool. I don't know. I think that's going to sell out real fast.
Yeah, I was going to say we should see if we could try to log in, but that would definitely be.
They're going
to
sell out.
That's going to go fast.
Yeah, because it's the first wrestling show announced.
Some shows have been doing live shows in like parking lots and people like drive-in. Like, you can park your car and watch the match. Like, I went to a drive-in movie, too. I did that.
How was that?
That was fun. You know, but it was over here by the pouch camp over here on Staten Island.
Oh, okay.
And we saw Jaws. But it was like, you know what? Even that, like, it's like, you know, if you get out of your car, you got to do this. There's so many regulations now, even, like, with work and, you know, you can't go. It's so, like, you know, in order for me to go to work, to walk into work now, I have to log into an app and check off that I don't have any symptoms of COVID.
Wow.
Yeah.
And show my and show security. Like, every day, I got to check in on the app and then show this big chooch, you know, security rent-a-cop, my phone. So it's like, it's just. If I, you know, this is why we do the podcast too. It's like you just forget life for a little while, man. It's been rough.
It's been redundant every single day for the last three months.
Yes, ago. perfect word. It's almost like you said, every day is the same.
I feel like it's Groundhog Day every single day.
Yeah,
it is, man.
Choppy, you make a good Bill Murray, by the way.
Oh, thank you, I appreciate that. But so I've. I got your. I saw your link that you sent me on. You tagged me on Facebook this week about the Steiner Studios finally opening up in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Now I told you it's just going to be up to the production company to start filling up the those studios now, and it's just I know when I go back to work it's going to be a shit show. I know it is, and I know for a fact they're going to be testing everybody every single day before you go in. They're going to test you no matter what. It's fine. I don't give a shit, but you know, it's better being safe than sorry. But this is going to be until this vaccine comes out or it is approved by the FDA, we're going to be doing testing every single day until something happens.
Even if there is a vaccine, brother, this is the new norm. I walked into a doctor's office the other day. They fucking infrareded my head to make sure.
Same thing when Landon was still at the hospital, every single time I went to go visit him, they had to, like, infrared my head, ask me all the same fucking questions.
It's the new norm, man. And you know what? The thing is, too, with all the added stuff, I just want to forget about things. So this is great. All the sports come back, and we still have wrestling to an extent. So it's like, at least we're trying here. You know, it's hard times. And you know, the country is in, you know... I don't know. We're cleaner now than we were a couple months ago. Cali's pretty bad right now. Texas is bad. Florida is the new epicenter of the COVID gimmick. So it's like, it's not, you know, people have to just curve it, man.
But you know what's the problem, Phil, is that when you have to tell somebody to wear a fucking mask all day and they don't want to do it, they throw out, oh, I'm an American, I don't have to fucking wear a mask. I'm like, dude, who gives this? Dude, how are you going to stop this fucking virus from spreading?
No one cares.
If you just don't wear a fucking mask or just stay home.
I love the people on social media who, like, these people who in these other states who start these groups up, they start these rallies up, and they're like, I'm not going to wear a mask. And they have this whole rally of people, and they're the first ones to get the fucking virus. You don't want to wish nothing on people, but I laugh every time I see it. And it's always these okie finokie fucking states like Arkansas and Colorado, and, you know, again, listen, you do you, man. You don't want to wear a mask, and it's a courtesy, not even like the law. It's a law to go into a store over here or to board a public transportation or a public facility, but it's not the law you wear outside in the street. I took mine off. It was 100 degrees the other day, and I had an uphill walk, and I'm very overweight, so I was sweaty. I took the mask hanging off my face just to walk to the train station so I couldn't breathe. And I was getting dirty looks. I'm like, all right, whatever, put it back on. I'm like, I'm not, you know, whatever. But I see people who just refuse to wear a mask. And they'll tell you, I'm not wearing a mask. I have a friend who's a cancer patient. He's in remission for cancer and will not wear a fucking mask.
That's retarded.
And he lives in Brooklyn. Lives in South Brooklyn. He goes to fucking the beach every day. He goes to Bensonhurst. Walks in Bay Ridge every day. And it's like, I'm like, and he's old. He's an older guy, so you can't tell him what to do. And it's like, you know what, dude? Like, you can't get like upset when you get sick. So, listen, as a healthcare provider, I'm asking everybody just to have some courtesy. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't go far. If you don't want to wear a mask, stay the fuck out of crowded places. Stay the fuck out of order your shit from Amazon. Stay home. Just because. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, just, you know, no one's saying you have to, but have courtesy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's the whole idea. It's no one's saying you have to, but it's just, I don't know, roll with the punches. If you don't want to do it, buck up, just fucking do it for everybody else, and then that's it. That's where I stand on it. I mean, what do I know? I'm not no scientist. I'm not one of these social media experts.
But dude, you're a civil servant. You're in the public eye every single day. You serve my city. You are a civil servant. You serve my city a purpose, and you know you as not you as an individual, but your crew of people, my crew of people, police, fire, PD, Port Authority, sanitation. We all have to lead by example because we're walking billboards.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, and everybody's just so quick to whip out the phone.
I was in Walmart today, and you know, everybody's making a mask. So you don't. There's no excuses anymore. Like Hanes has masks. They're made out of underwear and T-shirts.
I was just gonna say they gotta be made out of the underwear.
Yeah,
material.
They are. But you know what? They're taking MLB has masks now. NBA, NHL, any kind of brand. There's a Lucha company that's making masks out of Lucha masks themselves. Like
listen, everybody's got to make money.
Yeah,
you know, the other side of it too. Yeah, I mean, why not?
Don't knock a hustle, man. I you know, but like, you know, it's just profound when people just want to talk for the sake of talking. You know, it's like.
Yeah,
you want to be heard, so you sit behind your keyboard, you sit behind your tablet, you sit behind your phone, and you fucking bully your way in. You're like, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, and then you're the first one to get sick.
Yeah, exactly.
Shame on you. But anyway, we got some,
anywho,
we got some news that you can use and get into. I love that song. I love that song. I love it. I can't get enough of it. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. As you news, All right, so where do you want to go first? I saw everything except for NXT. I didn't watch NXT this week.
I saw NXT.
NXT was I was just literally finished watching.
Well,
it
you want to go over Extreme Rules first, and then Slammiversary.
the shit show that was Extreme Rules.
It wasn't even the horror show. It was the horrid show. The horrid show. My God, terrible. You know what? It wasn't the matches that were bad. It was the finishes to the matches what killed the whole
exactly.
Like, why would Bayley walk in, run into the match, still put the referee's shirt on, count to three, and they still give the belt to fucking Sasha.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Then you had, oh, what's his, what was the other finish that was really fucking stupid?
Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, the Rey Mysterio finish. And then you had Seth Rollins vomiting. Like, you did it before in storyline. Your character did it before in storyline. You didn't vomit, but you're going to vomit during the pay-per-view show? Get the fuck out of here. Eat a bag of dicks. That made no sense. And yeah. What was the other thing?
MVP.
The MVP thing. Well, that didn't bother me too much, and I'll tell you why. Because if Apollo Crews was not medically cleared, what I mean by not medically cleared, he probably had COVID.
He has COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, I'm not mad at that. So they should have awarded the title to MVP, make him a bigger heel.
I don't know.
I'm fine with it.
But listen, he's not injured for a long time, so he's got to be out for at least 2 weeks, right?
Correct.
So he's quarantined. He'll get retested twice. They can't take the belt from MVP at this point because then you have to do. What are you going to do? Put in the tournament for 2 weeks? It's not going to happen.
Yeah, no.
So, like Choppy said, now you build Apollo Crews up. He comes back. He's the big hero. They added Shelton Benjamin to their crew, which I thought was pretty.
Yes. Which I love. Yeah, I love that.
By the way, did you see Ron Simmons? Interaction with those three? Oh, man. There were talks about doing the Nation of Domination.
I think they're talking about it, which, you know, I'm not against it. I mean, it's, you know, it's in the news, and wrestling has been known to reflect sometimes off of
yeah, those guys, they're all wearing the banners on their arms, and they're all wearing the T-shirts, so it's like...
I like it. I'm for that, because you can kind of, you know, it's an easy storyline to follow. So especially anything with Shelton Benjamin now being a part of something, I'm all about.
So I would say that, you know, the Ahmed Johnson of the group is definitely Sloppy Lashley, correct?
Oh, you think? You think?
Bobby Lashley is a way better worker than Ahmed Johnson.
Fuck you, he's terrible.
Serious?
Ahmed Johnson at least had charisma. This motherfucker is like a charisma vacuum, dude.
Bobby Lashley looks better. Looks wise, has a better look than Ahmed Johnson does.
Yes, he does. Yes.
Ahmed Johnson is like a big sloppy truck driver or a lumberjack. You know,
a lumberjack.
Yeah,
but I
agree with Jay. I think Shelton Benjamin in the group is going to be a plus.
I love it. Thank God. Like, what are you doing? I mean, you got. We don't know who's sick and who's not sick, and who's you know not home, not you know at work, staying home. Like, you got Shelton Benjamin back there. The guy is a star. He's literally a blue chip athlete, to quote Jim Ross. Like, use
him. Blue chipper.
He's a blue chip athlete.
Lord.
But I'm a big fan of the tag title change. I love Cesaro and. You know, Shinsuke. One thing I thought of is, like, with Cesaro, you're clearly high on him enough to be a mid-carder, which is fine. But then at what point do you not try him? The guy is a star. The guy's literally...
Not in the eyes of Vince McMahon, because there are reports saying that Vince is not a fan of Shinsuke and Cesaro. He thinks that they don't have enough charisma to hold a major singles title by themselves.
Wow. Especially Shinsuke of all fucking people.
Yeah.
Not enough charisma.
Think about this for a second. Shinsuke, all he needs is the WWE title, and he's a Grand Slam champion now. And he's won all the belts that need to be a Grand Slam champion.
You know, that's true. I didn't even really think about that.
And he's a two-time NXT champion. So figure that one. Shinsuke is a fucking charisma star. That guy's full of fucking charisma. He's a superstar. And so is Cesaro, man. The fact that he's still not a world champion fucking annoys the shit out of me. That guy has won every tag team title with three different partners. He's been United States fucking champion. Why can't you give the guy a run with at least the Intercontinental title, man? The guy's
might be four different titles. Did he win the title with Swagger?
No, never. Never won the
title. Oh, he never won with Swagger?
No, never. He was supposed to, but it never happened. But that fucking guy, I met him in Ring of Honor. He's a gentle soul. I met him again at WrestleMania 29. He's a really stand-up guy. And the motherfucker does not get his just due because Vince thinks he doesn't have enough charisma and because he has an accent when he talks. Fuck you, Vince. You're an asshole. I'm sorry. That's just the way I see it.
No, I agree. I mean, they tried something. You know, he was cutting a promo after the match, you know, on Sunday. But, you know, listen, what you got to do is just give him a chance. I think, well, what's the worst case scenario? I mean, I know you tried with Heyman, per se. I don't even think that was an attempt.
I thought that was brilliant. Putting.
I thought so, too.
And why? Because I thought when he won the Andre the Giant Battle Memorial, I thought he was going to be the next world champion right there that year. And look what fucking happened. Again, the same bullshit.
They squandered it. That's what happened.
Phil, what do you guys think? What do you guys say about this shit, man?
I love Cesaro. I love them since the Kings when him and...
Oh, him and Chris Hero? Forget it. Yeah. And, tag team in Ring of Honor.
And what Sarah Del Rey was with them?
Oh, yeah. And the other guy, the small guy, the manager they had as well, besides Sarah Del Rey, was a tiny little guy.
Larry, was it Larry? No.
It wasn't Sweeney. It was somebody else. God rest his soul. Sweeney was a great manager.
Yeah, no. I mean, listen, we can go. That's another podcast of how many mid card guys. This has been happening for decades, though, guys. This has been happening for a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on, Phil. What about shouldn't Shinsuke have won the WrestleMania?
No, dude. Listen. The night we found out that Shinsuke signed with WWE, I remember this vividly. I was on the ferry, and I called into the rant, and I was like, yo. If he's not champion within the next couple of years, they're gonna waste him. I said they're gonna Mr. Fuji him.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is they took back in the day, and this is not a racist thing. Back in the day, they would take different guys from different ethnicities and just exploit the ethnicity. You know, like again, Fuji could work. Fuji was a former tag team champion, I think, three or four times with Albano. He had Mr. Saito and Toru Tanaka, right? But
yeah, like, him and Saito were great together.
When Fuji became, you know, a manager, it was like ha ha ha, very funny, ha so. And then like he had the Orient Express, and they put a fucking mask on Paul Diamond and called him Kato. You know what I'm saying? Like it's they've always exploited the ethnicity, and that's what was done. But some of these guys can work. SD Jones was a champion in almost every territory he was in.
He became a jobber.
He became a jobber. And then they gave him an action figure. Like, go figure, you know. But there was so many mid card guys. Like, you know, I mean, you can go by decade. You can legitimately go by decade. 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s. You can go by decade of how many mid... And this is not just all across the board. I'm talking Ring of Honor. I'm talking Impact, TNA. I'm talking about every Fed. Every Fed has those group of guys that'll put on an amazing show for you, but they never get the rub. They never get the top spot. Why? It's politics. Politics prevents accountability, and that's just how the world works. It sucks. And Vince has been out of touch for about a decade. He's in his mid-70s now, pushing his mid-70s, and it's like there's got to be a time where they listen to the fans to an extent. They've done stuff just to appease the fans or to fix what was wrong. You know, like a couple of years ago with Fandango. Fandango, when he came on, and the next night on Raw, when 15,000 people going, and even Jericho was like, "How do I top this? Like, if something, well, if it ain't, it ain't broke,
the,
don't
the
fix
Fandango,
it."
The Fandango thing kind of, I think it started off as patronizing almost, like, but they were right, they were ribbing on it, but it got over.
Right, that's the thing, man. And, you know, the fans will always dictate what they like. It's not what the company – the company is a publicly traded company. So if they put the belt on somebody specifically and they can't put them over as such, like how do you explain to a board of directors how amazing Shinsuke Nakamura is?
Shaylin just said in the room, Hakushi is another example, and she's 100% right. Hakushi is a great example of that.
Right. But like
he came in dressed up like Raiden. Right, I mean, what the fuck, dude?
Right, but like, think about this. Can you imagine the board of directors? None of these people are wrestling fans. Their money's so. Hey, and can you imagine Vince and Triple H walk into a boardroom going, "Hey, here's our champion Cesaro." They don't know how dope Cesaro is. They don't know how dope Nakamura is. You know what I'm saying? Those guys never get the rub. You know, but like the thing. I mean, I just, they're not going to watch a match for Nakamura and AJ Styles from 2014 in Wrestle Kingdom. Like you, but that stuff doesn't happen because the company is, they have a certain look to them. It's like everybody cried about Roman Reigns. Everybody cried about Roman Reigns, and we kept telling people he's got a look.
He's good though,
and he's not bad. Everybody cried about Cena. He's got a look. He hangs out with the Cripple Kids. He was over. He did a rap album. He sold gimmicks. But no, seriously, he was on a fucking reality show with one of the Bellas. Yeah. He was somebody. He did movies. Like that's why he's the fucking post. When Punk won the fucking world title three times and didn't get no love until he implemented himself, that's a fucking problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Well, like I said, and that's just like you said, the politics in and of itself,
Cesaro and Nakamura, they're on SmackDown right now.
Yeah. So, I'm a big fan of it. Hopefully, it goes somewhere, you know. And like I said, with Kofi being out for the next six weeks or so, you know, there's a void. I mean, you know, you got what's his name, Otis, that's the, you know, Money in the Bank champion.
He's still Mr. Money in the Bank?
Yeah. Like, where the fuck is he?
Oh, my God.
Like, you know,
heavy machine. Because he's over.
Yeah.
He's over.
And like you said, but now whatever steam they had, they just lost on him.
He's over.
Is he though? Seriously?
Yeah, he's over. Yeah. The fans love him. He has a hot piece that he walks
around. What fans?
I'm talking about
the internet fans.
Oh, okay.
Not the virtual fans.
Not the fans in the crowd. There is no fans.
The cardboard cutouts in the crowd.
Cardboard cutouts.
Correct. But you see my point. Like, there's, I mean, we can go by. You can go. That's another podcast, bro. There's no way that sometimes they can't justify it the way the fans can. You know what I'm saying?
We should do a list for next week. Like top five guys that were squandered, you know, that should have been something.
Oh Jesus! Can I give you Paul Orndorff?
How about Sean O'Hare?
How about Sean O'Hare? I mean, can we? I mean, you can go by decade. You can go literally by decade.
I was gonna say we should hammer out a decade and then do it from there.
He gave Rob Van Dam the championship, and he beat Cena on pay per view, and it was still bad.
Yeah.
Like. Rob Van Dam. I watched Rob Van Dam destroy people, put on clinics in bingo halls and VW posts and all across the fucking Northeast, right? But he goes to WWE, wins the title, and no one cares? It's Rob Van Dam. Bam Bam Bigelow should have been world champion.
Phil, here's the problem with Rob Van Dam, and it's not Rob Van Dam's fault. What happened was when he got signed by WWF in 2001 for that stupid alliance angle, he was the most over guy in the WWE in the alliance. He was more over than fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Stone Cold was the fucking world champion. How can you not put the belt on Rob Van Dam as soon as he got into the fucking company right there and then?
Because he's not a WWF guy.
Bullshit. I don't get
that.
I agree.
Once you sign your fucking battle line, you're a WWF superstar.
But you know what, though? Eddie Guerrero wasn't a WWE guy either. He came in from somewhere else. And he was – but you know what I'm saying? And
for again, years.
Right, but Eddie – but that's the thing, man. It's like it's just – either you catch lightning in a bottle and they roll with you or you're just mediocre.
Hey, guys. I'll be right back. I got to help Real with something. I'll be right back. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You know,
like I said, I mean, I think we should hammer out a list. Maybe we'll do a top five list of the 2000s. Maybe we'll do 2000s.
Yeah, that's fine. We can go by decades, man.
Yeah,
we can go by
decades. But otherwise, man, that pay per view was the absolute shits, man. It was I think Choppy was right. Some of the action was good. I mean the Ray Seth match wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad match. But the ending, I knew it was going to be something hokey. I knew it was going to be something that it's cringeworthy. That, I think, would be the other way around. It's cringeworthy.
Even the fucking Sasha Banks match.
Oh, God, yeah.
Her and Asuka put on a clinic, and then all of a sudden it was like, nah, we're gonna botch it. And then now they have to fight again for it. It's like, come on.
You know, I'll be devil's advocate. Let's just say it was a good ending. Let's just say the internet smarks and us and whoever, like, you know, loved it. it's a 50-50 shot that someone's going to like it. It's at least, at the very least, you take away from it is, because it's never really been done like that before. Like, at least, you know, the E's trying something. They're trying to keep it new. Listen, it sucked. It was flat. But I'm saying at least they're trying. They're not phoning it in, per se.
All right, so you do it like that, and that's a fair point, right? You do it like that, but not every match had to have it. Every good match had a shit ending. Like if, yes, you get, if you're gonna exactly. have a, if you're gonna have a good match with a shit ending, it should be one match just like that. This way you can go back and go, remember that one time? Like now it's like the whole match was. You remember that time? Because every match was a fucking terrible finish.
And like I said, and it's probably and it's in their favor that it wasn't at the arena, that there was no fans there, because they would have fucking shit all over the show. They would have shit all over the show.
The only ending that made sense was the Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman, because A, it was non-title, and B, now they'll have a rematch at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I mean, but like I said, we called it. That's what was going to happen. We called it. You know, I know I said it. I know you said it. You know, for WrestleMania with the Boneyard match was so good, and we said, watch. Here it comes. WWE is now going to fucking shove this down our throats. And now it's almost too much cinematic stuff. Like that, it was good. I liked it. You know, the 5-minute fucking promo, you know, the dialogue, I should say, from Bray Wyatt was a little long. Kind of took me out of it a little bit, but, you know, it was good in that sense, but you know, but well, like well, I said, I don't want it every pay-per-view. I don't need a cinematic match, you know.
Well their movie company isn't doing much.
Yeah. I guess this is true,
so they have to use all the equipment somehow, and there's no live audience, so they
I was saying was gonna happen was they're just gonna it's every and like I said it's almost been every month. You know, last month it was the Edge Orton match was edited. You know, like, I mean, granted, a lot of it was live, but nonetheless, it was still edited. So, like, I get it. Once again, it falls into that line. It's 50-50. You're trying something new, and at least you're trying, you know, but, you know, at that point, you know, you're falling on deaf ears.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's... I mean, you know, obviously they made the announcement for SummerSlam, which we all knew was going to happen.
Yeah. I was, it wasn't going to. Now, there's some rumors going around that they didn't really rule out a show somewhere else. So, like, but I don't know if that even can happen because of what's going on down there in Florida anyway. So
It's not out of the realm of possibility. Vince wants to be the first, you know, guy to do something, you know, like, and he's not sports, but he's going to be sports in this context. He's like, oh, we're the first sporting event, you know, this and that and everything. So like, to me, you'd like to think that if they go somewhere where it's not prevalent, like you said, I don't know, insert whatever state, I don't, you know, Georgia, whatever the fuck, you know, they have to find an outdoor arena, something like that, or, you know, an outdoor, like a, you know, do you go to a little league baseball field or something, you know, you know, you like, you do something crazy, like, but, to me, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but they should just keep it at the Performance Center for now. I mean, what else can you do? You know, what else can you really do?
No, you can't do anything else. So. It is what it is. Let's see. Did you watch? I didn't watch NXT. I know that
NXT was good.
I didn't watch NXT. I know that Keith Lee relinquished the North American Championship,
which we all, and like I said, we were saying last week, we were surprised he didn't do it last week. So I kind of glad that they kind of gave us a week. You know, they gave Keith Lee a nice moment in the ring with the promo last week with the two belts. But we knew that he was going to have to relinquish one. They had a great match, the three-way. Bronson Reed, Gargano, and Roddy Strong great match.
They put over Bronson Reed really nicely in that match. I'm telling you.
Yes.
So they're gonna have three way matches now to pick the winners, or
I think it's three way matches until they get the three winners. I think it's a triple threat ladder match. Am I getting that? I could be getting that wrong.
I think you might be right.
I didn't see SmackDown, so I didn't see NXT, so I don't know.
And and next week is going to be a great match. It's going to be Thatcher against Balor and
Oney Larkin.
Oney? I know Oney and Thatcher wrestled last week, and that's a fucking another hot.
I like Thatcher's vignettes too when he's stretching the kids out.
Oh yeah, those are the best thing about him. I love that. I like that.
Yeah. But and they put over strong Karrion Kross big time against Dijakovic. They did this excellent spot where it was they put Dijakovic's what seemed to be his head behind the stairs, and Karrion Kross came in, kicked the stairs, and it looked good. It looked really, really good. So they are definitely putting him over big time for Keith Lee.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yep.
I did see most of AEW.
AEW was good. AEW, Eddie Kingston. What a fucking promo by Kingston.
He is money. This is no knock on the NWA, because I saw this. I said this on the rant. Why is this man not signed by a major Fed yet? Been doing it for 20 fucking years.
Is another guy that, you know, that you would think that would have a nice bank account and a bunch of championships, and he doesn't. And he's been everywhere. He's been in Ring of Honor. He's been in Chikara. He's been in NWA. He's been, you know what I'm saying? He's been in TNA, Impact. Here's another guy. I mean, you can add him to the list, too, of these mid-card guys. Again, just gold on the mic, solid in the ring, can make a match, him and Cody tore it up. Cody's getting better and better every time he fights. The whole open challenge thing is great, because AEW has like an open door policy when it comes to per diems and coming in.
That's what's good about, like you said, how they're doing it is like they're doing it differently. The way they're bringing in outside talent.
They're bringing in Warhorse next week. They're bringing Warhorse in next week. He's one of the hottest independent.
He's
on the indies. He's been on the indies for a couple of years. He's the next big thing. But that's the thing too. Like, Tony Khan's got his finger on this shit. And
there's one thing I want to say. You were saying about Kingston is, and Excalibur said it, and I wonder how true. And I wouldn't doubt it if it was true. They said, you know, he's been out. You know, hasn't worked in 3-4 months. Like, he said, he had to sell his boots, you know, to make a mortgage payment type thing. Like, so you can kind of tell, like, obviously it was Eddie Kingston on the money, but you can almost see, like, hey, listen, this could be my chance to maybe get signed here. And if he doesn't get signed, that's, you know, that's a fucking shame. It's a loss to AEW. But, man, you cannot deny the literally what that, like, the I can't even think of the word right now, but, like, the moxie he had,
the charisma,
just the earnest in his promo.
You want to know? You know who? This is going to be a huge compliment to him. You know who he reminds me of? Mick Foley. Just those hard hitting promos where he just because he does the hardcore shit just fine. But you know how Foley uses those hard hitting promos in ECW? I think that he does the same thing. Does those hard hitting promos and people are captivated by every word that he says. I know I'm captivated every time he fucking talks. So that guy is just fucking money on the mic.
And thank you, Shaylin. It's Balor, Thatcher, and Dexter Lumis in the triple threat match. I knew it was going to be a good match. Like Lumis. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
What's his name? Sam Shaw is an absolute drizzling shit. Fuck
no way. like I said, AEW was good. What was the other match I like? Oh, the tag match with the Bucks. And yes. The Butcher and the Blade.
Butcher and the Blade are really good now. They're just gelling so nicely. I didn't care for them when they first started, but now they're like money, dude. I like
them. Yeah.
Really good. And what are your thoughts on FDR helping out Hangman Page from the Dark Order?
I think it's going to be major turn. I don't know. Now it's all of a sudden my thoughts of Kenny Omega turning is going to be, I think it's still going to be, you know, FTR is going to be monster heels now. Because I thought it was going to be all for Omega to do it, but now seeing that, you could see that FTR is starting to build up to turn heel.
Yeah, see? You're welcome, by the way.
And Guevara, Sammy Guevara coming back at the end.
I called that. I actually told Fallon, I'm like, that's Sammy Guevara in a match. She's like, no.
Fuck him. Who cares?
Like, she goes, is it? I'm like, oh, no, it's definitely him.
Fuck Sammy.
You don't like him. I don't know why you don't like him.
Oh, he's awful. Fuck him.
All right, so let me get this. Watch this, Jay. Choppy, who's worse? Sammy Guevara or Sonata?
No, Sammy's worse. Sammy's a lot worse. I'm sorry.
I love it.
Sonata's much better.
I love it.
But not by much.
Not by much. Okay. before we preview the New Japan card for tomorrow morning.
Yes.
Did you guys see Impact? Did you see Slammiversary?
I watched some of Impact and
Not the pay-per-view.
I didn't see any of the pay-per-view.
Okay.
I seen the aftermath.
Carlson in the chat room said his FTR is a cheap version of the Brainbusters.
Oh, shit. Who said that, Carlos?
Carlos Rivera. He said the FTR is a cheap version of the Brainbusters. Like, wow.
That's outstanding. That's pretty funny. What's up, Carlos? I'm sorry, Jay.
Impact doing big things. They are legitimately doing big things. I am such a fan now.
The pay-per-view was good. Motor City Machine Guns came back. They fought the Rascals. Tommy Dreamer and Moose for the title. That was pretty insane. Tommy Dreamer.
What about the Good Brothers? The Good Brothers.
Tommy Dreamer's got to stop wrestling, though, man. He's
awful.
Yeah. He's in bad shape.
He's awful. I know.
The Knockouts Gauntlet match was all right. My girl, what's her face?
Deonna Purrazzo?
Yeah. Well, Deonna beat Jordan Grace for the title. Yeah. X Division. I didn't know Willie Mack was X Division champ. This kid, Chris Bay.
Yeah, he lost to Chris Bay.
Bay is the shit. I like this kid a lot. He's very good. Tag team title match. This was pretty good too. The North they beat Sammy Callahan and Ken Shamrock. And
could you imagine this?
Let's be honest here. Ken Shamrock could still go, but he got carried in that match.
55-year-old Ken Shamrock.
He's in good shape, but he can't wrestle anymore. But the North got called out by the Motor City Machine Guns afterwards.
I know.
So that's going to be a great match.
Well, they lost the belts already.
They did.
On Tuesday.
Now, Deonna Purrazzo, where do we know her from? She was in NXT.
She's from NXT.
Okay.
She was in NXT.
She's good looking.
I think she was in one of those Mae Young Invitationals, I believe, too.
She got a nice shit locker.
She's an Italian broad from Jersey, Livingston, New Jersey. She's from.
She's fucking. Yeah. She's delicious. And then the title match,
the five way match, I believe it was.
Eric Young came back and Rich Swann was in the match too. Eddie Edwards won the title. We got help from the Good Brothers. EC3 cuts the promo of his life. He finally makes amends over there.
EC3, man.
That's another. There's another guy. Like another guy that they, he was the shit in Impact, and then he couldn't get past the mid-card anywhere else.
Another waste of talent, in my opinion. I'm not a fan of this guy, but it was another piece of waste of talent. Was Eric Young?
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I'm a big Eric Young fan.
Fucking phenomenal with Sanity.
I mean, you want
to talk? They got moved to SmackDown. Nothing happened.
What about Samoa Joe, man?
Joe!
I'm telling you, this list. This is another podcast.
I agree about Joe. I think Joe's had some bad luck though with injuries and whatnot. I think that's the difference between the three of them.
Injuries aside, though, he's been there for a minute now. Okay, between NXT and the main rosters, he's been there for a minute, and they've had opportunities with him. He's been in championship matches, and they have not let him run.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because I wonder if they think then he's going to get injured or whatnot. Listen, he's killing it on commentary.
Oh no, he's great killing on commentary. I'm not mad at that, but like you see,
it's wasted talent.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you.
Wasted talent.
Thank
you. Did you see? Remember when he fought? Like, you know how sometimes you know when Lesnar was a champion, and every time Lesnar comes in as the champion, they always put him up against like these guys that don't look believable to beat Brock Lesnar. But when they put Samoa Joe up against Brock Lesnar, it looked believable. It looked like Samoa Joe was going to fucking murder Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. And I thought Samoa Joe should have beat Brock Lesnar for the title like a couple years ago. And they didn't pull the trigger on it. And then I think Samoa Joe should have beat AJ Styles at SummerSlam.
We spoke about this in our podcast. We spoke about this.
It didn't happen.
Yeah.
Why? The guy's a proven commodity. He was a Ring of Honor world champion. He was a TNA world heavyweight champion. And you can't give the guy a nice little rub with the WWE title? Come on, man.
It's true.
Come on.
You can't even debate that, dude.
Oh,
you can't even debate that. You can't. But it's just, I don't know. That's I'm telling you, it's another podcast. And we can go by. I'm telling you, Jay, we can go by decade. We can.
I think we should do it. Maybe next week we'll start with.
Here's another guy. One more guy. Bobby Roode.
Oh,
I agree. Yeah, but it's funny. Like he somehow or another he didn't get released, which I'm kind of glad he didn't because he's being squandered.
Look at him. He's the prime guy that Vince loves. He's a body. He can wrestle. He can talk. He has charisma. He was an NXT champion, a U.S. champion, tag champion. You can't give this guy fucking world title too, man. God, get the fuck out of here, man. I don't get it. And it's over for him now because he's already in his 40s. I mean, he's almost 44 years old, whatever the fuck how old he is. And it's at this point, it's not even worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right. Before we're moving along here, which is perfect, so Jay can get out of here soon.
Yep.
Tomorrow morning, Sengoku Lord is the name of the card. It's in Nagoya, Japan. I think it's 5 a.m. here, 6 p.m. their time tomorrow. Here's the match listing for New Japan. This is a great card. Opening contest is going to be Uemura versus the Bone Soldier, Ishimori.
Yeah.
Your next match is a 8-man tag. Taguchi, Kojima, Hamna, Makabe versus Gabriel Kidd, Tsuji, Toriano, and Tomohiro Ishii.
Now, I don't know much about Gabriel Kidd.
He's a young boy.
Yeah, he's very young.
Okay. Then we have Chaos versus LIJ in a 6-man tag. We have Sho, Yoshihashi, and Hiroki Goto versus Bushi, Sanada, and Naito. Your next match is a 10-man tag. Suzuki-gun, Duki, Kanemura, Minoru Suzuki, Zack Sabre Jr., and Taichi, taking on Tanahashi, Kota Ibushi, Yuji Nagata, Hiroshi Tenzan, and Master Wato. Your next match, special challenge match, the Tokyo Pimp, Takahashi from the Bullet Club, taking on the Rainmaker, Okada.
That's going to be... I like the dynamic of it, because Takahashi... You know, he's always been around, but, you know, to go up against Okada, I think this would be actually a really good match.
And in his third defense of the Never Open Weight Championship, the Dragon, Shingo Takagi, taking on El Desperado.
That's going to be good.
That's going to be a great match because they have heat. And in his first titles defense, which the shirt's already been purchased, by the way. I'll have it hopefully near my birthday because I want to wear it on my birthday.
Darkness
is spreading. The Darkness Club. The 71st IWGP and the 25th IWGP Intercontinental Champion. Evil. Everything is evil. Taking on his old pal, the Time Bomb, the junior heavyweight champion, Takahashi.
That's gonna be a good fucking match. Him and Takahashi.
Good card. I'm gonna set the alarm and get up early and have some fucking Fruity Pebbles, and I'm gonna watch that match.
Phil, how long have I been singing the praises of Evil for now?
Hey, listen, we've all been Evil fans.
Oof,
all been Evil fans. I'm not even mad at that. It's I'm excited because New Japan's back and they have crowds. So yep. It's like it's fucking and moving right along too. So it's
you see, the thing is, if this country followed the same guidelines as Japan or every other country in the world, we wouldn't be in this fucking mess,
dude.
Man.
You know what's fucked up? China and Italy had it worse than we did, and they curved it quicker than we did.
They're done. They're done. It's over.
Yeah,
for them,
basically.
Zealand has zero. Zero deaths, zero cases. We're more, supposedly, we're this country that's more established, has more money than, and we can't fucking curb this thing.
But yet, you gotta be kidding me. You go to the Vegemite fucking planet, and there's no, anyway. All right.
I don't get it.
I don't get it. Anyways. Right, listen, we'll take a quick break, do this kick-ass pay-per-view for you guys, because we have a really good throwback for you tonight.
Yeah.
And then Jay's gonna go sling some fucking garbage for us.
Yeah,
serve our city in this.
I'm gonna go make another make my Turnbuckle Throwbacks mug.
Oh, cheap plug!
Merch is on prowrestlingtees.com/Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Look at you with the fucking plug.
Look.
Hashtag broadcast journalists. Look at you bastards. Mine's in the closet. She's breaking mine out now.
Not everyone can be the symbol of excellence.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Good segue. We ought to talk.
By the way, Jeff Hardy just beat Sheamus in the ball fight.
I'm on a delay, so I'm watching him now jump off a barrel. This idiot.
Yeah.
All right. With that being said, let's go to a break and come back. We'll be right back.
Later, Karen.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Okay, let's give this a try. The Shining Wizards is a funny wrestling podcast. No. The Shining Wizards is an insightful wrestling podcast. How about this? The Shining Wizards is a great wrestling podcast that airs live Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantdmradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. Of course, it's available on all podcasting platforms. I think that covers it. To check us out, go over to shiningwizards.com and get ready to join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
I don't know.
All those moments will be lost in time, like tears in the rain.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite, where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot, where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety, there is Inconclusive Breakdown. Your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Horns up, beautiful motherfuckers. Radioactive Metal is here on the Shining Wizards Network, and we want you to listen.
Every week, we cover the world of heavy metal and speak to your favorite bands.
We discuss new releases, concerts, controversies, and everything else that's related to heavy metal.
And occasionally, we even talk about pro wrestling.
Catch us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net.
Listen to past episodes at RadioactiveMetal.org or at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old-school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
Too much. I used to think that the day would never
Hey, this is the Queen of Extreme, Francine, and you are listening to Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass Choppy on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
All right, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks live on the Rant. Just had myself a superstar bar.
Oh, there you go.
John Cena. Choppy stuff in his face during the show, of course.
It wouldn't be a show without him slapping them lips together.
Sit on this, bitches.
If you put your hands on this lid, I slap them lips on the side of your face. Where's my dusty? I gotta pull it up because now I want to play it. Where is it? Where is it? There's so many of them that we have here now. Jet the Bill in the street. No, there's a lady in the men's bathroom. No.
You play that one.
No, I don't play that one.
Tip their hat to a lady!
That's the best one, I think.
Where's Slap Them Lips? I didn't erase it, right? Hold on a second. I have to find it now. What's that?
Wow!
Oh, we got a meth here. Look at the barbecue. Hold on a second. Hold on a minute. It doesn't matter. No. You like this hat? Oh, here's you like this hat. Where is it?
You like this hat? Sure. You better like this hat. That's no lie.
My favorite part. Sure do.
I want to blow our own horn, but toot, toot.
Where is my shit, man? This is... What, wait. No, it's not that one. It's not that one. Hold on a second. Nah, this is fucking bothering me now. Where's my fucking shit? It's... They're like... The soundboard is up. Hold on a minute. No. Blah, 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 blah. No. It's not it. Where the fuck is this shit? No. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Wow!
Wow!
No S Dusty?
Wow!
No S Dusty?
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
This, I found the lanes.
Yogi! No S Dusty, no S Bingo, Binga Murdoch!
Hey, how you doing? Like now it's another strike.
Fuck those guys, man. Fuck those guys. Oh man, this is bullshit. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right, let's do our throwback, shall we?
Mm-hmm. Let's do our throwback.
Here we go.
And now here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
Wow!
We got a mess here. Look at this barbecue. All right.
You like this hat?
Sure do.
You like this throwback?
You like this throwback?
You like this 20-year-old pay-per-view? You better like this pay-per-view. And knock you out, mother jumper. Anyway.
Yeah, I tell you, it was. I remember, you know, when it first went down, but. Man, it was actually really good to watch again.
Yes, nice, lemon ice.
All right, July 23rd, 2000, in the Reunion Arena in Dallas, Texas. 16,504 paid. Choppy, what was the buy rate?
I am getting that for you as we speak, my friend.
Where are you, Mook?
I almost have it here. Sorry for one second.
It's all right.
Where are you?
And now the Reunion Arena, obviously, it's in the shadow of the Sportatorium.
Not too far.
Yeah.
All right, fully loaded, 2,000. Oh, they don't have it listed. I'm sorry. I normally go to the correct website. I don't have it listed over here. What the fuck?
Really?
Bear with me, guys. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's all right.
The buy rate is 1.04 buy rate.
That's not bad.
Wow.
Which is above a million.
Not bad at all.
It's above a million, so that's good.
And like you said, I mean, especially at this time, I mean, you know, the quote-unquote war is still happening, but we all know who's winning.
More like
but,
the war. I love it.
But, and like I said, Austin's out, you know, which was funny because, like, you know, they had him on the screen. I was like, nah, Austin wasn't a part of this. But, I mean, overall, like, you know, the Attitude Era definitely, you know, it delivered. This was one of the pay-per-views that delivered. You know, some of them, I know we've said, like, it doesn't age as well, but this one was just as good.
No, I enjoyed it a lot. It was just, you could just tell from this card who was going to be the next it factor just by the match they had, you know? And let me get the first match, actually. Which was TNA and Trish Stratus with the Hardy Boys and Lita. It was actually a very
good match. This was Trish as a rookie, to say the very least, you know.
But you want to know something? You got to give Trish a lot of credit for this because she wanted to wrestle. She legitimately wanted to wrestle, and at the time it was the Attitude Era. All they wanted the girls to do was just tits and ass. That was it. That's all they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And funny enough, their team was called TNA.
Yeah, well, you sure didn't want to test an outfit? Oh, no, tits and ass, you're right, yes. and like I said, I mean, you could see it here. She did a really good job of trying to stay away from Lita and everything. And, like, God, how over was Lita at this point, too?
Well, Lita was really, really more over than the Hardy Boys, I think, in my opinion.
Until Jeff got in the ring, yeah. Well, and you had the 14-year-old girls that were in the audience.
Oh, Lord. Can we all agree that the Hardy Boys were like the Attitude Era's version of the Rock and Roll Express? Because when these two came out, the girls loved them.
I think that's a fair assessment. I would think so.
I don't know about that.
Oh, shut the fuck up, you old hag. Get out of here. But as much as I liked Lita and Trish Stratus, her facial expressions told it a lot more than what Lita
did. Yeah. Lita was
very stoic sometimes, especially like towards later on in the night. Mm-hmm. She looked like she didn't know how to sell properly when she was trying to, like, say, for example, if you've been beating my ass for the last couple of weeks, and aren't you going to show a little bit more aggression? I mean, yeah, you're running after me, but show it in your face, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to fucking kill me. And she wasn't doing that for me, you know? Unlike Trish Stratus, where she was, like, cowering behind, you know, Tess and Albert, which was great storytelling by her part, in my opinion.
So. Yeah, like you said, you know, she was, I guess, awkward in her selling would be another. She was always in – Lita's a great – she turned out to be a great wrestler as well.
Absolutely.
But she was awkward in the sense of it was just she always got it done, like the way her karatas, even her moonsault looked like either it killed her knees or it broke her back, one or the other.
I agree. And then her mic skills were not that good though.
Yeah, I mean they turned out to be better towards the later.
Yeah, when she retired, when she was about to retire, that's when they turned out to be good.
Is it bad that I was just fixated on her thong the entire match?
Oh, no. Of course not. Trish looked amazing.
Trish was better looking than her, though. I'm sorry.
Trish looked amazing in this. But like I said, the action for an opening match, it was great.
It was really good. I don't think Albert gets enough credit for what he did in his matches. I think he was a very good talent. It's a shame that he never got the tag team titles with Tess, because I thought those two were primed and ready to get the tag team titles.
Tess was always pushed as a major star, but I guess you can make the argument like he wasn't ready at some times. I mean, at this point, he was definitely better in the ring than he was the year prior.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I guess it's still a little bit early in his career. Albert, you know, was just, you know, I don't want to say he falls into that category we were saying before of squandered opportunities, but that dude seriously got it done. And obviously now he's training down at the Performance Center now.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, his hard work paid off because now his stuff in Japan was good too with Carl Anderson.
His stuff was great in Japan. Shadows.
You know, funny enough, a year later, Test becomes one of the hottest heels in the company. You know, by next year of 2001, Test has acquired the hardcore title, the European title, the Intercontinental title,
yeah,
and the tag team titles with fucking Booker T. How insane is that? He won all the belts and almost every belt except for the world title.
But it was also, a good match too because they you know, the size difference of the teams.
Yes,
you know, right. And that's and Hardy Boys are, you know, excellent. Like I said, they were doing nothing wrong at this point.
No,
and especially where we know that where they're going next month, you know, with the TLC, like that just trampolines them right into the next fucking stratosphere, you know. So yeah. I thought it was a good match. You know, Hardy's win. You know, I think they won with Trish. You know, Lita does the backflip, the moonsault, but then after the match, starts lacing her up with the fucking belt.
Yeah.
The next match I actually enjoyed a lot too.
Oh yeah, Al Snow versus Taz.
Well, that was a good match. I enjoyed the fuck out of this match.
The fucking crowd was chanting boring. You fuck.
Like, they're retarded. I know. They're retarded. I just didn't get it. I enjoyed the match. I thought Taz was made himself look like a fucking monster in this match.
I'm calling you out. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then the moonsault that Al Snow did, even at his age, he was doing pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I liked how they did the Tajiri head and arm Tazplex.
Let me correct you, sir. It's a head and leg Tazplex.
That's what I meant to say.
And it wasn't Tajiri's. It was actually Taz's.
Well, you know what I mean. He always did it with Tajiri.
He did it with everybody.
When Perry Saturn did a suplex in WCW, that the head and arm suplex, it was called the Gargoyle Suplex, which I was like, what the fuck?
It was a suplex. No,
suplex.
But my favorite part of Taz's moveset was when he did the crossface punches. He grabs the guy by the hair and just like whack, and it looks so good.
Absolutely,
the camera looks really good. So Taz wins with the Taz Mission. It was a short match. I think it was only 5 minutes of the match.
5:20.
Yeah.
Yep. It was a good match, though. I enjoyed it.
I'm going to go on record. I'm going to say Taz throws one of the best clotheslines out there.
Angry Man clothesline.
Stan Hansen. It's not in that echelon, but he's fucking second tier all day.
Brother.
The original mayor of Suplex City was the man back in the
day. Fucking right. True. He was the original mayor of Suplex. He was the Ed Koch of suplexes.
Yes, he was. Now. The next match.
Well, before we get into the next match, Mick Foley and a doctor, quote unquote.
Oh God!
come to see Christian, who's blowing chunks in a stall. Anyway, so Mick Foley apologizes. He's general manager. Tells doctor he can't defend the belts. Triple H and Stephanie are in the office, and there's flowers delivered. She thinks they're from Hunter, but he didn't do it. He reads the card, and they're from who else? Kurt Angle.
Yep.
And it says, where is it written that a guy and a girl can't be just friends?
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
All right. Choppy, your next match?
Yeah, the next match was
awesome, by the
way. Perry Saturn versus Eddie Guerrero for the European title, and I wanted to love this match so much.
Mamacita!
I wanted to like this match so much, but they weren't gelling properly in this match. I don't know what the fuck was going on, but... First off, Perry Saturn looked like $1 million.
Yeah, I love Perry Saturn, man.
Jacked to the fucking gills. He did that awesome elbow drop to finish the match. It was fantastic. But
yeah,
I wanted to love this match, and I did not like this match at all.
I think why some of the problem for me was like there was a lot of stuff with China. Like they were trying to get China shit in, and that took away from the match. It kind of took away from that rhythm that they could have had inside.
Yeah, Terry gets involved too.
Mm-hmm. And because it should have been, obviously you look at it on paper, it should have been a lot better than it was. But I mean, I felt like the Spanish announce table wasn't supposed to break when Saturn clotheslined China on it, but nonetheless it went. And meanwhile, because then she was up 2 minutes later, like no selling it after the match. So that's what that's the way I was looking at it.
I'm having problems over here. Both kids are waking up now. Hold on one second. I'll be right back.
And close that door.
Or mute the mic, one of the other.
Yeah, mute the mic. How many times? It's just weird that how many times can they get involved and just that and the third. It's just,
well, that's what was kind of shitty about it was, like you got to look at it from like it took away, like, you know, they did a good story with Terry coming out and like she, you know, obviously she ain't fighting China, but like it was too much about China. Like the match was supposed to be for the title. Obviously, they screw over Eddie, towards the end. And that's the way, it keeps the storyline going, per se. But, it was a cheap victory for Saturn. And, I guess an argument can be made about Saturn falling into that category once again. But somebody has to be on the bottom out of the three. And, unfortunately, he kind of fell into that. And, but... like I said, other than that, like Choppy was saying, on paper, man, this match should have been a match of the night.
Well, I mean, the only good thing that comes out of this, besides Perry Saturn winning the European Championship in 8 minutes and 10 seconds, is that it actually gets to Eddie Guerrero up in status.
It does.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, now he's becoming into his own, and it's. This is I think Eddie Guerrero's coming out party, basically, is what it looks like, all right, so right after that, Edge and Christian finally get caught faking their sickness. So, them and Mick Foley, always a good time.
Yeah.
Michael Cole.
The iconic scene of, Christian by the toilet throwing, just dropping water into the blown chunks.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then Michael Cole is seen interviewing The Undertaker, who claims that they'll need to surgically remove his foot from Kurt Angle's ass tonight. And Kurt is seen on the monitor trying to mess with Taker's motorcycle, but is chased away. There's one thing you don't do, man. You don't mess with a dude's hog. You do not mess with a dude's hog. Anyway, moving right along. Your next match now is for the WWF Tag Team titles. Edge and Christian defending against the Acolytes.
And Edge and Christian coming out, refreshing like promo skills, like coming out and just putting down the crowd, especially the line with JFK. I fucking love that.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, he would have committed suicide a day later anyway. It was like, oh, it's like, and there's no way you're getting away with that now on TV or on WWE television now, but then it was, all that, and then, Bradshaw comes out and does the babyface promo, so it was, this was a good way to get it started, for sure.
So so Edge and Christian get themselves disqualified so they can hold on to the titles more. It worked for the characters at the time, the hot dog in it, shit like that. But then the Acolytes do get the beating, and so it's not like a thing where it's,
And it was funny because I watched the Raw from the week before, so they had a great six man. It was Edge and Christian and Benoit against APA and The Rock, and Edge and Christian coming out with Shane McMahon and Benoit. I totally forgot that was actually a little bit of a thing at the time. So it was actually kind of good to see that and actually watch a Raw that it's actually kind of, entertaining in a sense where it was an hour and a half, 2 hour Raw, but it flew by. Everything was, A+. So, this match was short. Edge and Christian were just finding their stride with being heels, being that cocky heel, over the top heel type stuff. So this was good, and like I said, they got themselves disqualified, this way they just keep the cheap heat going, and we all know what happens from, you know, later on in this year, like I was saying before about the TLC match and everything. So,
all right. So then we cut to WWF New York, the old restaurant in Times Square, and the Big Boss Man's there.
Have you gone there?
I've
right?
gone there. Yeah, yeah. It was cool.
Yeah,
it was fun.
I went there a handful of times.
Yeah, I went there. I think I was there twice, maybe. He bullies some dude at a bar, whatever, stupid. And then they quickly cut to Stephanie Triple H. Stephanie tells him that if he's so upset about the flowers, he should confront Kurt Angle. So now, of course, Triple H goes and does that, and we see Kurt running from the Undertaker backstage. He tricks Undertaker and nails him in the knee with a wrench. And just too many backstage segments at this point.
For a pay-per-view,
yeah, it was just I see what they were trying to do, but it was just too much. You know what I'm saying? The backstage interviews are fine, but the segments, like, all right, this is just ridiculous. It was almost like the Leslie Nielsen thing that won you at SummerSlam.
Trying
to find him to take him. I mean, how funny is Leslie Nielsen? But it's too much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's too much. All right. The next match is for the Intercontinental Championship inside a steel cage. This match, Val Venus, the IC champ, defending against Rikishi. So Rikishi's on this high right now from the King of the Ring tournament. He actually, remember, if you listen to the show last month, he got a rub.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now he's getting title matches.
And like I said, and the crowd was all into it. They were loving him some quiche, and you know, came out. And it's funny, you know, you look at it from, you know, from a size point of view, you're like, well, what the hell can Rikishi do inside the steel cage? But he more than outperformed his, I guess, his assumption. You know, what you would think that he would do is. And, you know, use the cage a little bit. You know, it started off with, you know, Rikishi throwing Val Venus around the cage and everything. But then, you know, going up to the top, you're like, why is Rikishi going? He's going to go to the top to escape?
Yeah.
It just didn't make sense.
We got a hammer, you know? We have a hammer sighting in the chat.
Oh, there we go.
Hey, what's up, Hammer? So at one point, Val hits the money shot, gets a near fall. Lita comes out with a belt and whips Trish. She removes her shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And as JR would say, whipping her like a government mule. Val gets knocked off the cage, takes out the referee as he falls. Rikishi decides to go all the way to the top of the cage, looks down at the mat. He shimmies over to the middle of the cage, and like Jay says, leaps from the top of the cage to splash Val Venus.
It is. Val Venus has balls of steel. I mean, listen, Rikishi, you know, great, great worker. No denying that. And, you know, regardless of whatever size, but still, holy shit. What the hell are you thinking if you're laying on the ground and all of a sudden that man is jumping off, you know, 15 feet up to come down on you?
Yeah,
what the fuck are you thinking?
And it, not only was that insane, but he goes to walk out the door, and then Taz appears and levels him with a camera, hits him with a fucking camera, and then Val Venus gets the pin to retain at 14:10.
What I didn't like about it, you know, and just nitpicking it now is, you know, Val Venus should have sold that splash a little bit more. That, you know, Rikishi's 400 pounds coming off the top of the cage on you, and then you can roll over and pin the man. Like, Taz should have went in and dragged Val Venus on top of Rikishi, just picking it apart a little bit, you know, in my eyes. But nonetheless, you know, this wasn't a bad match.
No, it was good.
Told a great story. Val Venus got a little color, you know. I was a little surprised by that. Venus got a little color.
Cage match. I'm with it. I was invested.
Exactly. I was invested.
Now Triple H finds Harvey Whippleman, who's been delivering the flowers to Stephanie from Kurt Angle. Triple H demands her to find out where he is. So Harvey takes him to him, but Chris Jericho instead. Jericho beats him down, gaining the upper hand before that match. That was cool. Shane McMahon comes out with a Just Bring It shirt and challenges The Rock, but not for the title, since Chris Benoit has his shot tonight. But The Rock obliges him, but knows the setup. Shane runs off. Chris Benoit's backstage in the locker room. He rips up the Rock's clothes. Stupid segment. Too many fucking segments. It was annoying. Yeah. It was annoying. At this point now, I'm like, I'm watching it today after the game. I'm like, oh God, come on already. It was like, it just such a, and now I find myself fast forwarding because I want to get to these matches. The next couple of matches were great.
Well, it's funny because like you wondered to yourself, like especially with all these backstage segments, it's like, what the fuck do you guys have Sunday Night Heat for? Like, this should have been a segment that was on Heat. You want to use this to sell for the pay per view. You want to get buys, you know, from the pay per view. This would have been perfect for Sunday Night Heat. You know, I didn't hate this segment as much, but it went on long. Like, you could have had another match in there, whoever. But like I said, it was you knew that The Rock wasn't going to face Shane McMahon, so it was kind of like I said, it was a little bit of a throwaway segment. That should have been on Sunday Night Heat, in my opinion.
100%. The next match, they billed as a triple main event. So your first match, the triple main event, was Undertaker.
And if you couldn't tell, it said it throughout every fucking match.
Yeah,
you had Triple H's fucking beak up there. You had Kurt Angle,
Chris
Undertaker.
Benoit. Yeah, like they showed that they kept running that those three matches on the second monitor by the Titantron,
which is a little weird if you think about it.
Oh no, 100%. I have it written down here as a note.
Yeah,
I'm glad you brought it up before me. We're thinking on the same level here. All right, Kurt Angle versus Undertaker. Undertaker rides out during Kurt's entrance. You know how that goes.
Yep.
Undertaker clearly tells referee, fuck you, at one point. Kurt wisely goes to the leg. Undertaker remembers that's supposed to be, you know, Undertaker's not selling the hurt leg.
No, this was almost like a glorified squash match.
Yeah,
you know, in a sense.
Yeah, exactly.
They've obviously had better matches in the future. This was one of the first times that they were going at it, and but it was just like, you know, the build up for it, you know, didn't match the result. If that makes sense.
Correct. So taking no sells the knee injury because he's supposed to get attacked with the wrench with the 17 segments backstage. Undertaker shakes off the attack, hits the choke slam, and then follows by the last ride. Taker wins at 7.5 minutes. Very disappointing. Now they build up the my favorite match of the night, actually. They showed a vignette with Chris Jericho kissing Stephanie, King of the Ring, and all the other shit. Last man standing. I wish Choppy was here for this.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I should be last man standing.
Oh, there he is.
Look at you. Look at
fucking
you.
Fucking A, man.
Look at you.
How's it? Everything all right?
It's just that both kids woke up at the same exact fucking time. And one parent had to take care of the other kid while the other parent took care of the other one. So
yeah, that's the joys of being a dad, huh?
Yes.
All right, Choppy, get into this match.
Last man standing, my favorite match, and that actually
Thank
my favorite
you.
Match of the whole year.
Thank yep. you. I just told Jay this is my favorite match of the night.
Best match of the night, best match of the whole year, in my opinion.
How hot is Stephanie?
I think she was better next year, though. She got them.
When she gets the titties?
She got those mumps the next year.
This match was fantastic.
It was, and I'll tell you why. Because Jericho goes in there as the uber underdog in this. And when I first saw this, when this pay-per-view came out in 2000, I remember saying to myself, oh, my God, Jericho is going to get his ass annihilated. And of course, that's what happened throughout the whole match. Until Jericho, I believe Jericho had gotten like a low blow at a certain point in the match when he was about to go for the pedigree, Triple H. And
nails a low blow, back suplex with the announce table.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the one pedigree that Triple H nailed him with after Jericho gave him the crotch chop?
Yeah.
What ferocity in that one, man. That was fucking amazing.
Yep.
Jay, any thoughts on this?
Listen, and like you said, this is it's a toss-up for me because I'm a huge Foley fan. So the street fight at January at Royal Rumble was my favorite match. But, you know, I forgot how good this match was.
You know, why, and, because everyone blows up the Royal Rumble match like it's the second coming of 2000, but I still think this match holds up more than that one because it's not the passing of the torch. It's just pretty much Triple H trying to make a star out of Jack.
And that's exactly where I was just going to say, too, because whereas it was almost Foley's swan song, this was Jericho's, you know, Jericho came in about a year prior now. And he's finally getting some traction underneath him.
Yes.
And, you know, and he, and very, and especially now looking back on it, like, we love the stuff with him calling, you know, Stephanie trash bag and bottom feeding, whatever it was. And, you know, it's so entertaining now, but I think, you know, and especially the in-ring style of Jericho, you know, I always liked it more, his style more, because he can do a little bit more than Triple H. He was more of a high flyer, per se. But this really kind of established him as a top guy in WWE, right? You guys agree?
I completely agree. And the fact that people keep saying, oh, Triple H, it's all about Triple H. It was always about Triple H. Keep in mind, Triple H was not married to Stephanie or even going out with Stephanie yet. And he was still producing main event quality matches. Keep in mind, the Royal Rumble match with him and Foley, and then this match, who was the one guy that's in that match? The same guy in both matches. It's Triple H.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Triple H produced some really good quality matches. And I'll go as far as even say that the Iron Man match that he had with The Rock was amazing as well.
Yes.
So a match went almost 23 minutes, 11 seconds.
Yes.
I thought Chris Jericho sold everything amazingly.
Yes, I agree.
The crowd was into it. Stephanie's involvement was perfect. Both guys looked really good. There was nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with this match at all.
No.
At all. Let's see.
And we had a Triple H blade job, but we bleeding all over the place.
Which I think belonged in the match because Jericho hit pretty good with the steel chair. So if that happens, like I remember when in like 2003 where Shawn Michaels was bleeding in every fucking match, and I was like, does the match really need blood all the time? This match needed the blood.
Yes.
Because because you know Triple H was so hated at that time, and for Jericho to get that one shot and to make him bleed was great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, normally, I would say, all right, this is bad booking because now that should have main evented, but how do you follow up with, you know, obviously the championship should be the main event of the pay-per-view, but, I mean, these last two matches were over 40 minutes.
Yes.
And let me tell you something, it did not disappoint.
No, not at all.
It did not disappoint. Now, again, you know, how do you compete with that? Simple. You put The Rock against Chris Benoit for the title.
Yeah.
And if The Rock gets disqualified, he loses the title. And this was the last time. This is actually Rock's last time as champion. Because he lost it in the Iron Man match, I believe.
That's right, yes.
Right? And he lost by like DQ or something like that, right, Choppy? Am I mistaken?
He had lost it by DQ at the Iron Man match, correct.
Then he goes and makes the Scorpion King movie? Was it right around that time? Or the hell?
No, he does the Mummy Returns, I believe it was.
Whatever it was. He starts his movie career. I loved this match. I didn't like it as much as the last match, but again, the Chris Benoit was a machine. The Rock was a great entertainer, and I think The Rock was better with better guys in the ring. Like the better his opponent was, the better he became.
Because he knows how to swing up.
Correct. I agree.
And it's not that Benoit was carrying the match and then, you know, and made The Rock look good. The Rock just knew how to play up to the guy. Whereas if he was going down, it wouldn't be it doesn't have that same effect per se.
What about the chops that Benoit's throwing in this match?
Oh my God, he's serving up, as you would say, a nice big plate of chops.
Oh yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
I like the one part where The Rock actually puts the crippler crossface on Benoit and waving his finger no. And Jim Ross is like, Benoit's giving up. And Hebner calls for the bell and then announced that The Rock was disqualified because he didn't break the hold. But because he thinks The Rock hit him with a chair. New champion, Chris Benoit. But dusty finish.
Here comes Foley.
Here comes Foley.
But this is where the dusty finish works.
Oh, no, 100%.
Because it did work for this.
Right.
And Because then it's the same thing. Because like we were saying about Jericho, you could say the same thing about Benoit at this point. Whereas now all of a sudden you're giving Benoit a good main event rub, and it was, you know, and he was a legitimate threat to The Rock at this point.
100%, Jay. 100%. Great point.
And especially, like I said, you're putting them with Shane McMahon, so there's, you know, Shane's going to talk for him.
I was just going to say that, dude. Him and Shane together were money.
Money.
Yeah, Benoit wasn't bad as long as you weren't giving him a monologue.
Exactly.
Let him get in, get out.
a lot of top guys were like that back in the day.
Yeah.
So he restarts the match. Rocks, there's blood now on his face. Just bring it. Benoit hits three Germans and then applies the crossface again, but Rock reaches the ropes. Rock fights back and wins it with the Rock Bottom at 22.
Who throws a better German suplex, Benoit or Angle?
Ooh.
Angle.
I'm going to say Benoit.
Who throws a better snap suplex, Benoit or Angle?
Benoit.
Who throws a better snap suplex, Benoit or Dynamite Kid?
Dynamite Kid.
Yeah. If you watch this documentary you got to see this documentary I have of Dynamite Kid. It's amazing.
Who threw a better headbutt, Dynamite or Benoit?
Dynamite.
Benoit. No way.
Yeah? All right.
Benoit. He was literally killing himself every time he fucking, like, well, literally.
So was Dynamite Kid, though. Dynamite Kid won the title with the headbutt almost.
Yeah.
Well, he killed himself. He killed himself to win those titles at WrestleMania 2.
Nick German brings up an interesting point. He said the Rock sharpshooter was disrespectful to Bret Hart. Do you guys agree?
Was disrespectful, he said?
Yeah.
I mean, again, Rock wasn't...
The Rock sharpshooter?
Yeah.
The Rock sharpshooter wasn't even a sharpshooter. That was a Scorpion Deathlock. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you can't... I was just going to say. It's like comparing apples to oranges. And, you know, and I know Nick's a Bret Hart guy. And you can't, but you can't compare Bret Hart to Rock like that. Rock wasn't an amazing wrestler. He was a good.
You're bugging. You're bugging.
Rock was not amazing, bro. He was good. He was solid. He was an entertainer. He got better as the match progressed. He wasn't a guy that was gonna make somebody. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't put him in there with a Benoit like that, because Benoit was.
I disagree. I disagree with that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the Rock gets way too much credit. I think he's amazing at the time. I don't think he's an amazing wrestler. I think he's an amazing entertainer. You know, he doesn't execute like, you know, his finisher was mediocre at best. Okay, the People's Elbow was great. But it's not a fucking finishing move.
No,
you know what I'm saying.
The Rock Bottom was a far better,
right?
Was a far
it's
better
just
one.
You know, there's people throwing this praise around as great. Don't give me the great, man. Give me he was amazing. He was amazing. He was good. He was solid. I'm sorry, and I love The Rock. I do. I adore him. I think he's more.
I'm going to disagree because I think he could. He was able to do. He was a great baby face, and he was a better.
Of course,
and
he's had some amazing matches. I'm telling you right now.
And I was just going to go where.
But look at the amazing matches we're with, though. Austin,
great,
Triple H guys were fucking good.
Kurt Angle,
Benoit, Undertaker. I mean, let's keep it real here, man. He takes two to tango, and it wasn't just one guy.
He had a great match with Shane Helms.
I'm not saying he was terrible. I'm just saying he wasn't like this amazing. You know, like his. I'm sorry. He was an amazing.
You're bugging.
I'm sorry. I disagree.
I guess we're gonna have to agree to disagree.
Yeah, we're gonna have to have a conversation.
That's okay with me. I like our conversation. Then we can do some contract negotiations in our conversation.
But The Rock hung tough though.
The Rock hung tough with Benoit.
Yeah,
one of the best technical wrestlers of all time. Let's be honest here.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
But The Rock was worth his salt in that. Rock salt. There you go. The Rock was worth his salt there. You know, he once again he didn't. Benoit, we all know, is snug and or, you know, I wouldn't even say strong style. And Benoit, The Rock didn't shy away from it. You know, you could definitely tell. Excuse me. So to me, I think he I amazing is wouldn't be the right adjective, but I think all the praise that The Rock gets, I think is much deserving. Unfortunately, I think he falls in if he was around 2 years prior or 2 years later, we'd be probably saying something different, because when he came, Stone Cold was already there. So he was always going to be 1B, unfortunately for The Rock. But he was a great 1B. You know, like, it was almost like a Flair, Dusty, you know.
It was almost like a Hogan Macho scenario.
Hogan, yeah, it was almost, you know, almost exactly. It was almost in that same area. So I think he falls into that area, but, you know, I think he's much deserving of all the praise that he gets.
And nobody got a bigger pop than Austin in the Attitude Era. I'm sorry. You could be The Rock. You could be Mick Foley. You could be The Undertaker. But nobody got a better pop than Austin. I'm sorry.
Austin was the face of the company.
Yeah. Let's be honest. Even when he was injured the whole year, people were still chanting Austin.
And buying the gimmick. The shirts were selling like hotcakes.
Yeah.
And
but then, like you said, you could say the same thing about Rock, because Rock was – he must have been number two merchandise seller.
Yeah, but no one was walking around with Hawaiian shirts and raising their eyebrow. People were literally wearing jorts and shaving their heads and pickup trucks. And I mean, half of middle America looked like fucking Steve Austin at that point. Right now, I look like a fat Steve Austin. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, look at me.
Look at us. Look at us. Look at us. Look at us. What do you say about that there, Sheiky Baby? What do you say about that? Do you respect me?
I respect you, Gene. Man, you're an intelligent Jew businessman.
Oh, Lord.
Pay-per-view was fantastic. If we're going to nitpick, too many fucking backstage segments. Other than that, it was very well done, very well booked.
And this is a fuck you to Vince Russo. Saying, you know, you weren't shit over here. Like, we, you know, the creative team, Vince McMahon, you know, we were the real stars. Like, you know, because at this point, WCW is just literally just on its last legs, and you know, WWF is just firing on all cylinders. Like I said, every match was good. I mean, we can nitpick, but every match was good.
I'm actually very excited to see what happens next week with the next throwback week.
Oof. A couple of takeaways. Eddie Guerrero's coming out party. Clearly, even though he lost the match, this is his stepping up in the card now. He's coming into his own.
I thought Val Venus was going to be
Val
a big
Venus
star
was that. Yeah, exactly. Val Venus was great. Rikishi was getting the rub from the King of the Ring. That was the residue from the King of the Ring, the cage match. I thought Taz and Al Snow were should have been better than what they were at that point.
I thought it was still pretty good though.
No, I mean in terms of character wise, not. And obviously, you know, Edge and Christian coming out as well. They're coming into their own as well. It's just you could see it, the Acolytes and.
You could just see that. You could just see Edge was going to be a superstar.
Oh my goodness! Yeah.
Oh.
And speaking of Edge, who wants to buy that new action figure you sent me today?
I want that.
You want geriatric Edge?
It looks good.
Gray haired Edge.
Speaking of geriatric, did you see the Rocky Johnson action figure?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
I didn't see it.
Oh my god.
Oh my god! My favorites right now are the Rocky Johnson. Did you see the Precious Paul action figure?
Yeah.
It comes with Rocco, the puppet.
Idiots.
My favorite is the two-pack, which is the Mr. T and Roddy Piper two-pack. They're both dressed up in the boxing attire.
I want that.
You want everything.
I do. I actually have a plan for shelves in here, but see if that comes to fruition. I need another job.
We'll hit the lottery.
You hit the lottery, yeah. All right, let's get out of here. Jay's got to go to work.
Yep.
Yeah, right? What is it called? Yeah.
Yeah, you got to go to work, homie.
Yeah, tell me about it.
He said, tell me about it, he says. All right.
I'm not happy about
you,
it.
You sound very bitter about going to work. I wish I could go to work.
I know. It's funny. Like I said, I should watch my complaining, but I just don't want to work overnights.
I don't blame you, bro.
This is true. I should I'm not ecstatic about going to work.
Oh, Lord. Wait until you see what Squires is about to put up on the page right now.
Oh, Christ. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us tonight.
Oh, shout out to Squires. Those gifts with our faces on it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord. Dude, the Dusty one is the best. Phil, your face on Dusty works.
What about Luger? What about my face on Luger's?
My face on Dusty looks like fucking Jerry's kid that grew up. Seriously, I look mentally challenged.
My face on Luger's body looked like I was trying to be a retarded Rick Rude. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you everybody for hanging out with us. By the way, Matt, happy anniversary, man. He's been married for
a
gazillion years.
Happy anniversary.
I can only fucking be so lucky. You guys all know the social media gimmicks, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, prowrestlingtees.com/comicalthrowbacks, be a mark, buy a shirt, join Patreon. We're going to be getting some footage hopefully soon with that. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Be prepared for a shitty throwback next week.
Yeah, I hope you people like the next week's throwback. It's gonna be.
We're gonna be vomiting all over the place.
He said, "You people."
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a shitty pay per view. I mean, well, let's see what happens. I mean, it's a Vince Russo inspired pay per view.
Guys, take care of yourselves. Be safe. We'll see you next week. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. Eat a bag.